Let's ask the Lord's help. Blessed God, our Father, we are thankful for another opportunity to speak about the Lord Jesus, thy beloved Son, that one who came down from heaven, became a man so that he could die on a cruel cross and shed his precious blood and rise from the dead the third day that we might know repentance and forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven and be a member of the family of God. Blessed Lord Jesus, we thank thee for thy mighty work and finished work. Bless thy word tonight, we pray, to the hearts of all of us, but particularly those perhaps that are still lost and in their sins. We ask this in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I just want to read, by way of introduction, two verses. One of them is in Acts chapter 8. And we're just going to read one verse from Acts chapter 8. It's a lovely story here, but I have something else on my heart. Acts chapter 8 and verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him. In Spanish, it says, El Evangelio de Jesús, the gospel of Jesus, or the new translation says, the glad tidings, the good news. I don't know why the King James translators left that out, because it seems to me pretty important, because we do have good news tonight. All right, one more verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all. I'm not going to speak on either of those chapters. But I thought this would be a good place to start. I'm glad to see you children up front. Good reminder for me to be a little bit careful about how far afield I go. But, you know, Philip, that's my name, by the way. So I have a special affection for that story. That's not Philip the disciple. This is Philip the evangelist. But that's my name, too. And, you know, this man, Philip, he came to this man all by himself, driving a car. It was a chariot, but anyway, we'll think about it like a car. And the Lord says, go walk by that man, and I've got something for you to tell him. And he walked by him, and that man was reading out loud from the Bible, and he was reading Isaiah 53. And so the man says, can you come up here and talk to me and tell me what this is talking about? And so Philip climbs up in the car, and he read him the verses from Isaiah 53, and he said, who's it talking about? And Philip says, well, I'm going to tell you about Jesus, because that's who it's talking about. So tonight, I want to talk about Jesus. Now, Brother Bernie over there recommended John's gospel, and I love John's gospel, but tonight we're going to look at Luke's gospel. About 5 or 6 years ago, I started writing in Spanish on the Gospels, and it took me 5 or 6 years to go through all four Gospels. But I started off in Luke's Gospel, and I enjoyed it so very much. I hope it means something to you tonight, because in Luke's Gospel, we learn about the man Christ Jesus. You know, there were two men I'm thinking about, famous men. One of them was very smart. In fact, maybe the smartest man that ever lived. Well, King Solomon was probably smarter than him, but his name was Albert Einstein, and he was a brilliant man. But he said this, God is unknown and unknowable. Now, I've heard some other things attributed to him, but knowing that he said that, I don't believe him, because I'm quite sure he said that, because he was what we call a deist. He's one who believed God created the world, wound it up like a top, and let it go. And he's not, you don't pray if God is unknowable. And so he didn't pray. He didn't know God. But God is not unknowable. God made himself known by coming down to this world in the person of the Lord Jesus. And we can know God, and Luke's gospel tells us about the man Christ Jesus. Now, this other man, he went by the pen name of Mark Twain. Do any children know what his real name was? Jewel, do you know what Mark Twain's real name was? Have you ever read anything by Mark Twain? You know? Samuel Clemens, that's right. You know, Samuel Clemens stood on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he thought about who else had stood there, and that was Jesus. And you know, he said, he wrote this down, you can read it if you want to. The book is called The Innocents Abroad, and you can find it for free because it's in the public domain, and you can search and you will find this. He said, I don't understand how I'm standing on the shores of the sea where, he used the word a God has stood. He says, it's incomprehensible to me. And then he ends with this, the gods of my understanding are always hidden in the clouds and very far away. You know, I was a very smart man, and he knew the Bible, but he didn't know the Lord Jesus. And you know, thank you, Dawn. Sorry about my voice. So, children, if we want to know about God, then we read the Gospels, because the Lord Jesus was a perfect manifestation of what God is. So let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 30. I have three stories. I have three stories that I want to read about, and each of these are composed of two people, and they're all in Luke's Gospel. There's more, but these three stories, if we have time, we'll try and get to all three of them, tell us about two different classes of people. And you know, tonight, children and older ones, there's only two classes of people in here tonight. We come from all different parts of Canada and the United States, and probably I know one brother back there from Peru and a sister back there from Mexico. But we come from all these different places, and we look different, we talk different. But you know, there's two types of people, and those are those that are saved and those that are lost. And that's it. There's no other class. And so there were some folks here. And verse 30, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Now, I think you all have heard about Romans chapter 3 that tells us in verse 23 that all have sinned. But these folks says, we are not sinners. And we know they said that because they are accusing the Lord and his disciples of eating with people who were sinners. And this is what the Lord Jesus said to them. Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole, that's those that are well, need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So yesterday I was sick. And I was in the hospital for 4 hours because I thought I was maybe really sick. But obviously I wasn't, because here I am tonight. And so I felt like I needed a doctor. So I went to where I could find a doctor. And I didn't say, well, I'm not sick, I don't need a doctor. But that's what these Pharisees said. We have no need. Now we're going to look at these three stories. And in each of those, we're going to find a person who said or acted, because one of them didn't say anything, like they needed a doctor, like they were sick and they needed a savior. So let's go to Luke chapter 7. And we'll read this story. We might have to skip a bit because I'm short on time. But I want to read first from verse 16, because in this chapter, this is a beautiful chapter. I hope you'll read the whole thing. Yeah. Because in this chapter, the beginning of the chapter, we find a man, and the Jews said, he's not sick. He's worthy. But you know what the man said? I am not worthy. And you know, that was the recipe for him to get help. He knew he wasn't worthy, even though the Jews said he was. He said, I'm not worthy. Okay. And then there was a widow woman that had a son who had died. And the Lord Jesus raised him from the dead. In verse 16, this is what it says. And there came a fear on all. Two things, they said. They glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us. They were talking about Jesus. And that God hath visited his people. They were right on both counts. But you know, there was another man who apparently heard about this. And he was a Pharisee. He was also one of those who said, I'm not a sinner. And he invited the Lord over to his house. Now, if you read the story, you'll see that this man thought he was a lot better than Jesus was, because he didn't show him the common courtesy of the day. He didn't give him any water for his feet. He didn't anoint his head with oil, which I guess is what they did in those days. And he didn't give him a kiss. But he invited him to his house, and the Lord went to his house, and he sat down to eat. Now, children, I don't know if you've ever seen how they used to eat in those days. This always used to puzzle me, because you know how we ate? We ate today. And we sat at a table, and our feet were under the table. So we're going to read about a woman that washed the Lord's feet, and it always puzzled me. How did she get under the table to wash his feet? Well, they didn't eat that way. They ate at a little low table like this. And they had one elbow down, and their feet were out behind them. And so I learned that from the movie Ben-Hur. So I saw that, and I said, well, that's how it is. That's how she could come behind him and wash his feet, because that's how they sat at the table. They didn't sit at a chair. They lay at table. That's actually the way it reads. So the Lord is in this house, verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet. You see, that's what the other people had said. A great prophet has risen among us. And he's trying to figure this out. And he says in his heart, if this man were a prophet, let's keep reading here, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. In other words, she's one of the sick ones, but I'm not. I'm well. I don't need a physician. Jesus answering said unto him, now listen to this, children. Do you happen to know what I'm thinking right now? Say no, because you don't. You can't know what I'm thinking, because you are little people. You are men. And not God. The Lord Jesus knew what was in his heart, and that should have spoke to his conscience. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. You know, in order to keep our time within the limits, I take it there's a boat that's going behind me. Looking at the phone. I love boats too. In order to keep our time within limits, I'm going to skip some of this chapter. But this man says in his heart, this woman's a sinner, but not me. And the Lord says, you know what? You owe less, but you don't have anything to pay. And no, that's the secret, children and older ones. We have nothing to pay. We are bankrupt before God. We are sinners, and we have nothing to pay. And you know, we read that verse in 1 Corinthians 2. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The story of Luke's gospel is about grace. And grace, does anybody know what the acronym is? God's riches at Christ's expense. The Lord Jesus suffered on the cross and died, made propitiation, made payment for our sins. And God said, yes, I'm happy with that. And sometimes we say God is satisfied. Those that know me know I don't like that word because it seems too inadequate. Because God was delighted with the work that His Son did on the cross. Payment was in full because we had nothing to pay. The Pharisee says, well, I don't have a debt. And the Lord says, yes, you do. It might be a smaller debt than this woman, but you do have a debt and you have nothing to pay. And so that poor man, we don't know what happened to him, but I have hope because it says in the story the Lord told, He says, He forgave them both. I like to think that that Pharisee also came to the Lord Jesus. Let's read down verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with Him began to say within themselves. Once again, children, they didn't say it out loud. They said it in their hearts. But the Lord knew what they were thinking. Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And He said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. Children, this woman never said a word that we know of. And she went away with her sins forgiven. Why? All because it was what she did. And the Lord saw her heart. You know, I just got done listening to a book on the nuclear disaster at Chernobyl. And those men that fought the fire there on that nuclear power plant and the operators in the plant there, and they were brought up in an atheist nation that says there is no God. And so it said about one man that he knew no prayers. Well, you don't need to know any prayers. But you know what he did? He prayed anyway. Now, what he prayed for is that we might live one more day. It says every night he prayed to God that he might see another sunrise. He died. He didn't live. Oh, but I pray that he learned something more about God in the little time that he had left. And that is that God gave His only Son so that you and I might live. I don't know if he did or not. That's all the book told me. I don't know that the author was a man who knew God either. Let's go to Luke chapter 15, and this is a little bit of a longer story, so we're going to have to be careful that we don't burn up all our time, because I have a third one. Now, this chapter is about three different stories, and I'm thinking about the last one, about what we call the prodigal son. Now, that word prodigal is not in the scripture, but we know what it means, I think. It means the son that was disobedient and wayward and ran away from home and disgraced his father by the way that he lived. And that's what happened. And let's just read from verse 11, and we'll see how much of this we can read. Luke 15, verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Well, I wonder if you see the parallel here, children. This young boy had a lot of money, but he spent it all. It's easy to spend a lot of money. And end up with absolutely nothing. Well, that's what the Lord said about those other two, didn't He? They had nothing to pay. He's broke. He can't help himself. And he remembers his father's house. And he's like, I go back, but I have something to offer. I got two strong hands. I'll tell my dad that I'll work for him. But you know, he didn't get around to saying that. He said that in his heart, I'm going to say that. But when he got there, he didn't say it. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now let's see what he said. And the father said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Oh, how come he didn't say, I can work? Because he couldn't say that. Because his father's arms were wrapped around him and his father kissed him. And he knew, I can't come that way. I can't offer my dad to work. He doesn't want workers. He wants me as a son. And you know, this is the one who knew that he had spent all and had nothing to pay. But you know, he had a brother. And the older brother was a good boy. Stayed at home, worked for his dad. But you know, he had a problem. Because in his heart, he was in the far country. He was far from his father. And he was angry when he found out his brother had been welcomed home. Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Now listen to what he said. And this is very sad, children. He said, He answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You know what he was saying? Dad, you've been unfair. I have been perfectly obeyed you at all times. Do you children think he was telling the truth? No, he wasn't telling the truth. There's no way he was telling the truth. He was lying right then. He said, I never disobeyed. I don't believe him. I don't believe him. He had disobeyed, but you know, there's a bigger problem here. He was upset because his father didn't give him a kid to make merry with his friends. He didn't want to be with his father. He wanted to be with his friends. You know, that's very, very tragic. There's many people whose friends have led them down a very bad path. I know some. Don't let your friends lead you down a wrong path. This poor boy did not know his father's heart and thought he was not sick and he didn't need a physician. And you know, he missed out. He missed out on the blessing. As far as we know, he never went in. He did not join in the joy that his brother had come home. And so we've had two examples. There was a Pharisee, and there was a woman of the city that was a sinner. One of them said, I'm worthy. And the other one said, by her actions, I am not worthy. And she got the blessing. She went away with her sins forgiven. And here we have two brothers. And one of them said, I got nothing to pay. I am broke. I've spent all. I can't offer anything, but maybe Dad will receive me anyway. And he did. He welcomed him home because he came as one who was not worthy. And the other brother said, I'm worthy, and I didn't get anything. Well, you know, he wasn't worthy, but he didn't know it. And the verse we read there in the beginning of Luke's gospel says, I didn't come to call the righteous, those who think they're good, but sinners to repentance. And so the sinner in the first case was the woman of the city, which was a sinner. It tells us that. And she knew she was a sinner. And she wept because she knew she was a sinner, but she knew that she was welcome at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She got the blessing. The Pharisee don't know, but as far as we can tell, he missed out. I'm hopeful that maybe he didn't. Let's go to the last one. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, And this is a short story only found in Luke's gospel along with those other two. These are unique to Luke's gospel. There's four gospels. Each of them give us a different perspective and viewpoint of the blessed Lord Jesus, God that came down as a man so that we might know God. Too bad Albert Einstein didn't know that. He made himself known in the person of the Lord Jesus. You want to know what God is like? Read the Gospels, and there it is. Because there's no difference. We don't look at the Gospels and say, well, there's the tender Lord Jesus, and here's an angry God up here in heaven. That's not the way it is. They are one and the same. I and my Father are one. Everything that we see the Lord Jesus did was a perfect reflection of who God is. And that's why reading the Gospels is a beautiful thing. So here's three people. Brother Tim Kaiser's dad has a flannel graph that he uses to talk about this story, and it's very beautiful. I saw it last year at the Burbank Conference. I don't have a flannel graph tonight, children, but I have the same story. And it's the story of two bad men. And why do you think Jesus was in the middle cross? Because it tells us that he was. Why did they put him in the middle? Well, I think, and we don't know for certain, but I think they put him there because, as far as the people were concerned, he was the worst of the lot. Now, you have to remember, this was the man who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. This was the kindest, the tenderest, the most loving man that ever lived. And yet they put him on a cross. And they put him between two thieves so that everybody would think that he was one of them and maybe the worst one. But you know, one of those thieves, I don't know which one, whether he was on the right or on the left, doesn't tell us. But one of those men had been saying bad things to the Lord Jesus. We know that from, I think, Matthew's gospel. It says the thieves cast the same in his teeth, which means they both cursed him along with the other people. But the man did a little thinking while he was hanging there suffering. You know, it's hard to think when you're in pain. And I'm sure he was in terrible pain, but he thought anyway. And he thought, this man next to me, I just heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What kind of a man is that? I don't want to forgive these people in front of me. I hate them. Is something different about this man? And so the other thief says some bad words to Jesus. And this man comes back and he has a word for him. And this is in verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Well, what kind of a request was that? Well, those were not words of faith. It was kind of a challenge. You say you're the Messiah, then what, just come down from the cross? And while you're at it, we'd like to come down too. But, you know, the other man on the other side must have leaned forward maybe and looked at him. I don't know exactly how they were oriented, but somehow he catches his attention and he says, the other answering rebuked him, verse 40, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? He says, do you realize what's happening to you right now? You're about to die. And you're condemned. And you're speaking against this man. And he keeps talking. And we indeed justly. You know, right there, children, he's saying, I am unworthy. I am a sinner. And he says, we, includes the other thief, because they were perhaps companions in their evil deeds. He says, we indeed justly. He said, we're getting what we deserve. We're dying for our sins. But then he says, but this man hath done nothing amiss. This man here, I heard his voice. You know how much he knew about Jesus? Very, very little, children. Almost nothing. He just saw him, as far as we know, for those 6 hours. And he says, this man has done nothing amiss. Now, I'm pointing to my left, but I don't know he was on his right. He might have done this. He's on one side, and he says, this man, he has done nothing wrong. But then he said something beautiful after that. You know, the Lord Jesus was Israel's Messiah. He came to his earthly people to set up a kingdom, to deliver them from their enemies. But they didn't accept him. They said, we don't want this man to reign over us. We have got Caesar. Caesar was not a nice man. He was a cruel king. But they chose Caesar instead of Jesus. And now this man turns to Jesus and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know what he did? He believed what those people who had nailed him to the cross did not believe. And that was that Jesus was Israel's Messiah. And not only that, how did he know that Jesus was going to come in his kingdom? Did he know he's going to rise from the dead? I don't want to attribute too much to him, but it seems to me that he did. He recognized that this man was going to come back and he was going to reign as king. He believed who he was and he says, remember me. And you know, the Lord still hasn't come into his kingdom. And now it's been 2,000 years. And there's no kingdom yet, but the man got his answer. Verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, that thief, he's still with Jesus, and he's in paradise. His body is turned to dust, but his spirit and his soul are with Jesus in paradise. Do you want to be with Jesus in paradise, children? Is anybody in here wants to be where the other thief went? There was a man who came up to the gospel preacher after a meeting like this, and he spoke on Luke 23, and he talked about the two thieves. And the man says to the preacher, you know, you've given me a good idea. I'm going to do just like the thief. I'm going to come at the last minute. Think that's a good idea? Your dad said it wasn't a good idea, didn't he, Jewel? He said, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And you know what the preacher says to him? Which thief? Well, I hope that was a word to his conscience. Because, you know, there were two thieves. And only one of them that we know of believed on the Lord Jesus and received the forgiveness of his sins and went to paradise. And the other, I'm afraid, is in a place that we call Hades. And that's a place, the place he's in is a place of torment. It's not a happy place. He doesn't have a body. But you know, there's a rich man in Luke's gospel. They didn't have a body, but he thought he had a tongue. And he said, I'm tormented in this flame. And he wanted a drop of water on his tongue. But he didn't have a tongue. Why? Because his body was in the grave. He had no body. And those spirits that are in Hades do not have bodies. But some are with Jesus. As we say, depart to be with Christ, which is very much better. Paradise, that's where the thief went. And that's where he is now. He's with Jesus. And so we don't have any more time. But I want you to think about this. Because in each case, there were two. And one of them said, I'm worthy. I don't need a physician. I'm not sick. I'm good. Everything's all right. We might find that surprising that the thief hanging on the cross would say that, but you know, men compare themselves to others. And well, I'm not as bad as he is. Maybe that's what he said. I don't know. But the woman that came to the Lord's feet, she knew that she was a sinner. And she never said a word, as far as we know. But she went away with her sins forgiven. She went away knowing that she would be with Jesus in paradise. The younger brother, he knew that he had nothing to pay and that he was unworthy. And he said it, I am not worthy. And the older brother said, I am worthy. I deserve it. And he missed out on the blessing. And children, if you read through Luke's gospel, you find this is 100% true. Those who took their place as unworthy always got the blessing. No exceptions. Everyone. The Lord never turned any of them away. And you know, that's the wonderful good news of the gospel. The Lord Jesus, his arms are open wide to receive everyone that will come to him as their Savior, confessing that they are not worthy. We have nothing to pay, but you know, the Lord Jesus paid. He paid a great price. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay, I think we got time to sing the rest of number 10. Verses 3 and 4. I'll let somebody else start it because my voice is unreliable. Blessed God, our Father, we thank thee for that dear, loving Savior, our blessed Lord Jesus, that one who came down from heaven so that God might be known. We think of too many in the world that presume that God is not knowable because they have not sought him. Blessed Lord Jesus, we pray that if there's anyone here tonight who has been careless about their soul salvation, that they might come to the Lord Jesus as one who is unworthy and might know that blessedness of sins forgiven and a home in the glory, and to be a son of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We thank you for thy precious word. Bless us tonight. With it we pray in thy precious worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.